Well, the Peter Jackson competition in the VFL has been tight, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's not... I would be surprised if there's not a team in this competition that still doesn't think they could make the eight, and for many of them, win the flag. And among that number is a side that has got off to a good start, the Casey Scorpions, Nigel.
Off to a very nice start. Missed the finals in 2014 for the first time since 2006. And at the moment, going away to try and rectify that impressive win over Essendon, who was certainly one of the teams that were pumped up in the preseason.
How's their percentage going?
The Scorpions, percentage of 132 at the moment through two rounds. Good win over Frankston in round one, helping that, of course.
Yeah, that's better than a record of 5-1 at a percentage of 90.
Mm-hmm.
Was that last year?
It would have perhaps been the year before, yeah.
That was one of the weirdest things. They won by 2 points, you know. Anyhow, now they're doing it on the scoreboard consistently. Their midfielder and somebody with a very senior role at the Scorpions, with young players that ultimately, hopefully for the Demons, will be great AFL players, is Shannon Burns. Of course, the Premiership, AFL Premiership star, is now giving back, as they say. Good evening, Shannon.
Good evening, boys. Thanks for having me.
Giving back and giving it to the opposition last week. We'll talk about the team shortly, but I imagine as you look to entrench yourself in the off-field position of AFL coaching, it's great that whilst you're still playing, you're getting plenty of leather, because last week, no problems getting the ball and a goal and being part of a very good win.
I wouldn't say I was getting plenty of leather last week, Flaney. It was the first game in a long time for me, so I was just more concerned about getting through the game. But
played a relevant part in the game, which is great news. If you're going to be out there, it's good to be part of the win.
Yeah. I was it's funny because I come off the ground and I said this to, I was speaking to the coach after the game, and whether you like it or not, when you're a player and you're on a list, a lot of your thoughts go into how well you played, and obviously you're happy to get the win, but it's hard to bring your thoughts away from your own game and whether you've done enough to get yourself up into the senior team. But coming off the ground on the weekend, all I cared about was how everyone else went and how happy everyone else was with their games and whether they improved. And it's just a different train of thought that I'm used to, I suppose, as being on a list to now taking on that coaching role.
Burnsy, thanks for your time. Can you give us a little bit of insight into the big days in your week, where you start at Amy Park at a certain time as welfare and development coach, work a day there, and then do the trek down the Monash to Casey Fields to then train... Finish, and then have to trek back into the city to get to bed.
Yeah. There's a few big days now, and I certainly appreciate a lot more now what my coaches actually do behind the scenes, I suppose, to come out and give the instructions on training days and game days. You don't think too much of it as a player, but my big days consist of getting in the club probably about quarter to eight. To go over anything that needs to be sorted with the welfare officer, and we usually have a meeting for about half an hour, and then the team meeting starts at 8:30. Sitting in on that, and then we go out in the track. I have to basically be across everything that's taught to all our players out in the track from 9 till 11, whatever time it is out in the track. Come back inside and all my welfare work gets done then. So I try to knock it on the head for, 1 or 2 hours, get some lunch in, do my weights, and then head straight out to Casey, and where I'll take the leadership group out there for a meeting, do some craft work with the Casey boys out there before training.
And what's then, that, making baskets and do some pottery?
Yeah. That's basically what we do these days, finally, just to get a good balance between football and life. They need to be on their game with their cigarette. What they make in pottery back in the day?
Ashtrays,
that's what I was after.
Yeah, get the boys to make one for me. I'm old-fashioned.
All right, well, I'll do one with your initials on it.
Yeah, that'd be beautiful.
I'll make sure that gets sorted. No. Thanks. The craft work's more about teaching them about the finer parts of the game, not so much pottery. And then you take them for training. You've got team meetings out there as well. And training, you don't usually get off the track out at Casey until about 8:15. And then after that, if there's not a team meeting after that, I usually head home and get home around 9:30, 10 o'clock. I've got to get dinner in there as well. So usually, yeah, some pretty full days when you start at 8 o'clock and you're getting home at 10. But it's good experience. I'm getting experience in all different fields and hopefully can work out which one I'm best at and put all my time into that in the coming years.
From an outsider, it's so easy to say, you know, dual premiership player and really on the just on the edge of a third premiership, which is great for the experience file as it is. But I would have thought, not even that it's Melbourne, because they're a club hardly playing premiership football, but I would have thought that that's not what it's about in your current role or in the role of a development officer. It's about young men adjusting from various parts of their life into hopefully transitioning into AFL football. But it, I imagine a psychology degree would be better than a premiership.
Well, yeah, it absolutely can help. I suppose that's where I've got the advantage on most people that go into the welfare side of things, that I've actually been through everything that these guys are going through. I've been through being in the team that's obviously done really well and been successful, and then being at Melbourne where we've had some leaner times as well. But not only that, as far as the team goes, I've sort of been a player that's been off the rookie list, that's been in and out of the side quite often, and then I've had a time where I've been cemented in the team. So I guess the advantage I have is that I kind of have a feel for where all the players are at, I guess, compared to someone that might come in off the street that does have the psychology degree but probably doesn't quite understand the pressures that come with playing AFL footy. So I don't pretend to have that psychology degree. If it does get more serious than just about football and being in and out of the side, I'm smart enough to know that I can't handle everything in that area, and I'll handle them off to... Well, not handle them off, it sounds bad, but we have a club psychologist, and then the AFLPA also have club sports psychologists that the players can see. So you'll just point them in the right direction if that's the case.
So what would be your plan of attack very briefly with Christian Petrarca? He's broken down and all of a sudden all that football acumen that you can provide is probably... It needs to be put on a back burner whilst maybe some other stuff needs to be worked through with him. But give us an idea of what role you played.
Yeah, well, he's a great kid, first and foremost. I'm a big fan of Christian. Just a real affable character that everyone at the club really likes. One thing I will say with Christian is that you need to find things for him to do. He's someone that doesn't... gets distracted, I suppose, pretty easily. And if you don't have anything for him to do, he'll probably go and distract others. So for him, it's about finding him something to do. And luckily for us, that he's a bit of a football nut. He loves his footy. And he's really well across all the under-18 competition. He knows everything about every player if you ask him anything. So from there, we basically put him into our recruiting department. And... He's helping out our recruiters, going out and watching games, and also doing a bit of forward scouting for teams that we're playing coming up. And he just loves it. Like that keeps him occupied. But yeah, basically we just try to find a passion of the player if they're in rehab, because rehab can become a bit of a drag. And whatever that passion is, we try and find any way we can to. Yeah, to keep their mind occupied, I suppose, in the times that they're not with the team.
Shannon, in brief, who are some of the young Scorpions that have impressed you so far?
In the VFL listed players?
Correct.
Tonight?
Yeah.
I'd go with Paul Patterson's one that I really like. He's a young 19-year-old playing out of the back pocket. Jim Munro is another one that we got from Sandringham, ironically. We're playing them this week. Tom Muir we brought over from Glenelg. I think is going to be a really good player for us. And Jack Hutchins we've pulled down from the Gold Coast. He was on the Gold Coast list. He's been really solid for us. And then Evan Pinoza, who you would have played with, Nige, is another one that just keeps getting the job done week in, week out.
Yeah, he's been a wonderful player and a superb captain for them for several years. And hopefully he's going to get a chance to play in a few more winning finals.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. He's one that's stood the journey at Casey, and they've been up there and certainly featured in the finals, but haven't done as well as they'd hoped. So hopefully we can turn that around for him in this year or the next.
I got a feeling like in maybe seven to ten years, I'm talking about you, Shannon. I've got a feeling Shannon's got a big journey in football, and I'm going to say we used to speak to him when he was a development officer at Melbourne, or a welfare officer. But I really believe that there's going to be a long, very fulfilling off-field journey for Shannon Burns. Shannon, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and hopefully that off-field journey doesn't impact on your on-field journey against Sandringham this weekend.
Good on you, Finey. I really appreciate the kind words. And, looking forward to a bit of Nigel's commentary over the top of me. Go easy on me this weekend, mate, if you can.
You'll have it 30 times and kick five, so we'll have plenty of times where we can mention Burns.
No pressure at all, mate. No pressure. I'll try and give you something with a celebration if I kick one.
Something relating to pottery is probably apt, given what we've just spoken about.
And if he does bend over and the ball gets swept away by a younger player, start calling him Mr. Burns. Thanks a lot, Shannon.
Excellent.
Oh, he's a beauty. Quickly, selections, one word. I think we've got to keep that phone number there, Braden, by the way. One Shannon Burns. Might find out if he's available at some time for a bit of radio. Richmond versus North Ballarat.
Richmond.
Casey versus Sandringham.
Casey.
TV game, midday?
Midday, Saturday, 7.
Geelong Collingwood. At Queen Elizabeth Oval.
Bendigo, yes. A couple of VFL games being played there this year to make sure people in the goldfields get their taste of the Peter Jackson VFL. I will tip the Cats.
Box Hill, Werribee.
Box Hill.
Old rivals, Willie Port.
Gary Ayres' 150th game as coach of the Borough and Chris Kane's 150th game in the VFL. I will tip Port.
Frankston versus Northern Blues.
Northern Blues.
Coburg versus Essendon.
Close. Bombers.
It'll be really close if they wear their traditional jumpers. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Fonny.